Aye.
Okay.
Would you roll call? I'll be quiet and get started, Danny.
Okay.
Okay. And 12:03, you're at the Intertraffic Medical Board meeting with us from the Attorney General's office. Is our legal counsel, Ms. Offset, and also our executive director, Ms. Anthony. And let's go ahead and do roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadler?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gowan?
Here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Campbell, are you with us? Dr. Spatt?
Yes.
Dr. Rubin? Okay, looks like we're missing Dr. Campbell and Dr. Rubin at this juncture.
Then we have quorum, I believe.
We do.
Okay. I haven't had any declarations of conflict of interest, which is number 2. So I'm going to roll on to number 3, which is the civility statement. I'll briefly read this. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Those violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior. If not, we'll disconnect you from the phone line. What I'd like to do with 4, if the board is okay with it, we'll take 4A through Q and roll that all into one motion if someone wants to do that.
I make a motion that the tax bill be approved. Item 4A through 4Q, you said?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. I'll second Dr. Popio's motion.
Okay. Roll call, please. Dr. Sadler?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gowland?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell? Still not with us. Dr. Spack?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin? Still not with us. Motion carries.
Okay, and that brings us into agenda number 5. And we'll start off with the first case. And that's case number 20159, Dr. Fernandez, and she's being represented by legal counsel, Mr. Kane. Gail, can you give us a review of that one?
Okay. Dr. Sadler, members of the board, at the meeting of November 12, 2020, the board reviewed case number 20159. After consideration of the information, the board voted the matter to formal interview, but requested additional documentation for review. The additional documentation requested is being brought before the board as a continuation of the initial review. Should the board find additional violations may have occurred based on review of the documentation presented today, a motion to include any additional violations in the formal interview process must be articulated in a motion by the board.
And Mr. King, will you be speaking, or will Dr. Fernandez?
Hi.
So I'll let you lead off, and then if you want Mr. King to add to that, that'd be great.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to go here for questions regarding the three additional charts that we provided prior to the board meeting. We also provided a declaration on the Scott Fernandez from Dr. Paul Anderson in the case. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Dr. Anderson on the phone?
No, he's not.
Okay. And let me open it up to the board members, since we don't have Dr. Rubin with us, so let's go ahead. We don't have Dr. Campbell. Dr. Pompeo, do you mind kicking off with your comments first?
Sure. That's what I was expecting. So I appreciate Dr. Anderson's commentary. I guess in my opinion, the concern, was never was the treatment valid, was ozone therapy by ECS, et cetera, was a valid treatment for a viral infection, whether it was COVID or unspecified. So I appreciate his commentary and information. It doesn't really change kind of how I was looking at the case. My main concerns were the chart notes being done and signed off 1 month to 2 months after the initial visit, the copy and paste on the chart notes, the attention to detail, the lack of documentation of the patient having COVID, those were my main concerns. And so as I looked through the chart notes that were also submitted for other patients, to me, it becomes very, very clear that copy and paste is a huge part of the chart note process for Dr. Fernandez, and that many of those patients, essentially, the chart notes are copy and pasted, indicating, for example, absolutely full physical exams on each and every patient, on each and every appointment. I highly doubt that that's happening when they're coming into their IV therapy, that we're doing a full review system, full physical exam. On one patient, for example, the labs that were done in July were copied and pasted every note until November. So that's my main concern, is that we seem to have a chart note system that is documenting the cut and paste, and that there are small changes here and there, but I think that's also why there's a complete lack of clarity between the patients in this case and Dr. Fernandez, that Dr. Fernandez is documenting 30 to 60 minute office visits with the patient on each and every appointment, and per the patients and per what I would expect to happen when they're coming to for an IV, that's not happening. So I think we have a lack of information. I feel like the idea that the patient did not communicate her COVID testing results to the physician is hard to imagine, especially if there was a 30 to 60 minute office visit on each and every IV. Can't imagine the patient being COVID positive didn't come up during those visits. So there's a lack of continuity between the chart notes and what Dr. Fernandez is saying, and them saying that they never were informed of the patient's COVID status. So my concern has nothing to do with the validity of the treatments and whether or not the patient got good care. I think that the IV treatments were absolutely appropriate, regardless of whether the patient had COVID or not. So my main concerns boil down to the chart notes, the attention to detail, and the actual documentation that's provided for each and every visit.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Peel. Ms. Tibbetts, your thoughts?
I don't have any comments at this time.
Okay. Dr. Spatt?
No, I think Mr. Pompeo already mentioned what we're concerned about, so I don't have anything to add at this point.
Ms. Gallen?
Thank you, Dad.
Okay. And we're missing Dr. Campbell and Dr. Rubin. I would have to say I pretty much echo what Dr. Pompeo said in reference to the chart notes. I don't know what EMR software you're using. You may want to consider modifying your templates to match the visits better, i.e. where it says the complete physical portions, have a modification on those visits that are just for IV use. Because otherwise, as you know, everything carries over and it's more cut and paste. I think the treatments are valid. Obviously, COVID is an issue that everyone needs to be aware of in terms of reporting and how to deal with it. And the continuity of care, and I understand having a busy clinic, but somehow have that person in place that can provide the continuity of care, and then you quickly have a huddle at the end of the day and make sure that there's nothing that has been broken within the chain of communication. So I would pretty much echo with, you know, what's been said. With that being stated, why don't you go ahead and give us your viewpoint of it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Knight. I just want to say just very, very briefly. We had a certified court reporter transcribe the last board meeting November 12, 2020, and we have provided that transcript to the board. And on page 64 of that transcript, and under questioning of, by Dr. Campbell, patient LS admitted that she said, I don't know if I ever told, made a specific statement to Dr. Fernandez that she had COVID or that she was COVID positive. And again, that's from the patient's own testimony. Thank you.
I do recall that, and you are correct. Dr. Fernandez, if you come up with a different template for what we would basically call a brief encounter with the patient?
Yes, we're working on kind of what basically what we've done since last time we spoke. We're putting together a template where we have a different template for follow-up versus a new intake, because what happens is, and what kind of needs do they get us to? We're trying to come up with a system that is succinct. It doesn't take a lot of time, because what we've been doing with our new patients, what they do is they get us online documents. So this is also easy for us, because the 13-page document has to be typed into the EHR. And then for us, this is basically what we've been doing. I've learned from other clinics when we use EHR medical records, is that we obviously we know, so because the physical exam and medical history, it doesn't copy everything. It doesn't copy the basically the ID statements, it doesn't copy the vitals, the roasting we do each and before the case, start ID and after. And then with as far as the lab, what I see is that we can only ask for my EHR is that as you can see from the treatment plan, I keep log of all the lab data and then from the first user being able to the previous person with the lab page, lab which is done with 1920, and that becomes a treatment plan where it's with all values and the ranges that we're looking and then the ideal that I'm looking for and it's all in there. So in the EHR, we're actually working with organizations on this as efficient as possible. As far as the obviously last meeting was came out with the opposition about the treatment plan, and so that was cleared out. And I thank very much for all of you for looking into this and seeing that in fact she did get the right treatment and she did go well. I was not aware of that she was ever positive, nor was our team. And that's the fact. And then the thing is, even if I was super busy, which by the way, it took me about 10, 15 minutes to get her started because she doesn't have very good things. We hydrated her, we got her started, we got her. So we had, even let's say I did sit down and talk for 30 minutes, I had literally spent 15 to 20 minutes just to get me the IV started and her, making sure that she was comfortable, making sure that she had the proper treatment. As far as COVID procedures and protocols, we are in the same complex as Banner Hospital, so we utilize the procedures and protocols that they do. And we have, and I would say 85 to 90% of our patients are geriatric. So we always provide, we have our guards up when it comes to treatment protocols and safety as well. The only thing that comes with, I understand the charting, we're working really diligently, making that more efficient, more succinct. When it comes to my patient's treatment and follow-up, especially for autism, there's no changes that I there's no need to make any changes that I need to as far as the HDI. HDI is basically what patients tell me. And I have to say, I admit, in the past, I have to say, May, June of last year, for 5 to 6 months, because of this pandemic, our patients needed 100% more focus and more care than ever before. So the charting, yes, that's less often. We're going to be working on hiring a team that specifically works for making this more efficient, I'm aware of. But that's where we at, just changing the template where we have one for follow-up and one for the initial visit. But the information is there and it's correct. It's trusting all of my patients, including LS, even though I know there was a fault in my hand for not being able to submit the chart, putting it to on time, and I still have some chartering to finish my patient chart from in the summer, and we're working on that list of patients that we need to finish as quickly as we can. So that's really my input on all of my cases and as far as the EHR medical records growth, diligently working on making it as efficient as we can, moving forward, moving as we speak as of now.
Okay. And then I recall there was some confusion on the intravenous therapeutics. Have you clarified that in terms of your packages so that people are aware that it's this fee for this, it's this fee for that? I think that seemed to be an issue prior.
None of our patients have had or had any issues with this prior to, except LS. I have patients come in on a daily basis, get IV treatment, get acupuncture treatment, everything's written down. And you can see in the handout, it's exactly the prices per treatment, per program, but it's all up to patients how they want to proceed. In our case, we chose countries because number one, she knew that she wanted to get stronger and she wanted to return to work as quickly as possible. And I even told her specifically that we need to get in as often as we can so that you get to the zone where you feel stronger. And I wasn't aware she was COVID positive. I was aware that pretty successful COVID was negative. And what she had told me that there was a test pending from primary care doctor. That was just the information I got. And then that was exactly how I think. Even if I submit charts a month or two later, I didn't change anything what patients told me. And the vitals and all that, my medical assistant puts it in right away, the timing puts it in right away and all that. So when I'm submitting, all I'm looking is for grammar, and really then I will, on the same day, I will add to the chart the treatment plan that I updated, and then I will sign as soon as I can. But as far as the payment plan, what we've been doing here, really, we spend so much time explaining all that to our patients. Even if it's in our last case, Bobby spent so much time explaining everything that's financial to her. The only thing why this, and I this is what I'm highly discussing, the word about discussing, including my individual team here, is that when Bobby sends a letter and notifying that he's a health agent going through, and we're not required to notify our patients of their payment of our due, they leave our certified behind and they're ready to go. We never even force anything on a last case. So when he notified her, was sometime in August, the beginning of August, he did not show up that day when he was supposed to come in. Immediately went to Bank of America or one of the banks to all the charges that were done for the treatment conducted here, including blood work and also the follow-up and all that and supplements. And that was really tough to me, I've never been backstabbed by patients before, I have to be honest with you, and I took this very, very seriously, and I took it was very, I didn't say motivation in a sense, because I'm trying to the fact, whether you believe it or not, that's not to you, but I'm trying to stop running backwards to help out that, to get love. And why she did not tell me about COVID, I don't know what answer, maybe she can answer that. I know she was freaked out. She was scared that, I mean, hospital is 2 minutes away from me. I've sent more patients to the hospital in the last 12 months that I have in my entire career. Because literally, if they can't go up, you put them in a wheelchair and it'll be really done, and within 10 minutes, they'll be going to see you. We have very good relationships with nurses and doctors and the man in the hospital here because I'm a part of it when it comes to my clinic. And also my name is in a hospital under a doctor's directory, so it's not like nobody knows me. Or I know a lot of specialists. If there was any time, at any point in during the situation where I was sitting in the lab, I needed to refer further out, I would have needed to refer her out, and I know she would have gotten, no matter where, she would have gotten, I would make sure that she would have gotten the care that needed to get her where she is at right now. That's really what it comes down to, and as far as I said, as far as starting, we're working really diligently to make it work and making more safe and more sugar retarding. It doesn't look like it's a problem. It typically really is. And when you look at the treatment plan, there are changes. Every time that they come in, if there hasn't been an improvement, I'll leave it as it. If there has been improvement, I'll know that. There's just really what it is.
Okay.
Dr.
Shadwick? Yes, go ahead.
Dr. Shadwick, if I may, I believe Dr. Rubin is joining the meeting.
Dr. Rubin, you might have
this is Dr. Rubin in present.
Okay, and Campbell is here as well. I have some phone issues, but I've been on for a while now. Okay, let me email show that both Dr. Rubin and Dr. Campbell have joined at 12:24. Alice, why don't you go ahead and let's get your summation. We heard from you last time, so I'm looking for a summary. Can you give us your summation? You've heard Dr. Fernandez.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Again, I was just listening to her saying what she just said. And I'm just stunned. I'm just stunned at the inaccuracy. It's untrue. If she gave me that much care, why on my final day, when I had the needle in my arm, I was in the ICU, getting a needle reception number 7. And suddenly, I felt very ill. And I wrote this in my summary last time. And I rang the bell, and her assistant came in, and I said, please get this out of me now. I don't know what was going on with me, but suddenly, I did not feel right. I don't know if I was dehydrated. I don't know. But I said, please get this out of my arm right now. And I felt very claustrophobic, you know, in the tiny room. And so she said, hold on, and she went to the doctor, came right back, and she said, okay, Dr. Fernandez said, I can take it out and you can go. So she took the needle out of my arm, and then her husband, Bobby, the manager, who I spoke to often on the phone, came in and started talking to me. And I was, again, jumped over myself. I said, well, I don't know. I can't listen to you right now. I said, I just need some fresh air. I don't know what's wrong with me. So I said, I'm trembling. I don't know if I need water. If I don't know if I need food. But I need to just get out. This kind of stuff doesn't happen to me often at all. But that day, something happened. Something came over me. It came over me very suddenly. And I wanted to just run out of there. And they let me go without the doctor coming to check on me. I'm under her care. You would think that with your patient is having an issue like that, that the doctor would come to check on you first, making sure that you are okay and also able to drive. She never came to check on me. And that was very consistent with her general care of me. And as far as the first day, she continues to say, I've heard her say many times that I never said that I had COVID or that I have a test pending from my PCP. Again, this is incorrect. I explained to her when I arrived that I came from the hospital, I went to the hospital. The PCP doesn't have anything to do with anything. He was not seeing patients at all. So my COVID test was the initial one that was negative. It was a false negative. Then I continued to get worse. I believe that I'm negative at this point because of the first false negative.
something is different, and then I go to the hospital. And I'm not a banner. I have nothing to do with Banner Hospital. I don't live in her area. I'm in the Arrowhead area. So I went to Arrowhead Abrazo. And that's why I said 4 hours. They told me I had to leave, but before you leave, let's just do a COVID test just in case. You'll get a result in 5 days. Couple days later, I don't have my calendar with me right now, a couple days later, I'm in Dr. Sandy Bobby. So the first thing I told her was what happened. I told her I have a negative, so I'm negative. I continue to believe that I'm negative. But the hospital wanted to make sure they don't know what's wrong with me. So they did another test, and I should be receiving the test results within 5 days. So that's, now we're at at this point in her office. This is 3 more days. Give it 3 more days, and the test results will come. She knew this. I explained this to her and her husband, Bobby. What else will I say to them? I'm not going to make up a story. I'm going to, so sick. I'm going to explain to them what just happened in the last week prior to coming there. And my son was with me. He witnessed everything. He knew everything what happened with me. So I explained what happened. I went to the hospital, everything. Then, rather than saying, you know, as a physician, this is my whole point about what happened here. Okay, I don't have a problem with the actual IV therapy, per se. I don't know. You know, I'm sure it worked, and maybe it did some good for me. However, when I'm coming there sick, as I was, and I would have done anything. I was so ill, I would have done anything. And I'm telling her I just got a test done at the hospital, and they said 5 days, so okay, the results should be in 3 days. As a physician, I would expect her, now that I have my good, you know, now that I'm healthy, I can get back and expect the physician in their right mind to say, you know, you only have 3 more days to wait. Let's wait until your COVID test comes back. Let's rule that out first. If it's not COVID, then yes, we need to do these tests and find out what's wrong with you. But that's not what she did. That day, he gave me all kinds of tests, and I asked her, do I need to do all these tests? Yes. Those tests were very expensive. And she wanted me to do more tests, such as food intolerance and something else, I forgot. I put this in my summary last time. And even as sick as I was very afraid because I didn't have money. I didn't have a lot of money. But I wanted help so badly. But even in my sick mind, I knew that I don't need to do a food intolerance test right now. I knew this had nothing to do with a food issue, you know, like an allergy panel. And those were hundreds of dollars, hundreds. And I told her no, and she pushed back. And I said, no, I don't want that. She said, okay. Then she left it alone. Then it was another test, school test, this test, that test. And she said, he said to me, I asked her, I said, Dr. Fernando, what do you think I have? And she said, you know, I don't think you have COVID. I said, what do you think I have then? She said, I think you have belly fever. So when the actual COVID test came back, I remember having a conversation with her, saying, okay, now that it's COVID, can we rule out belly fever? And she said to me, no, because there's a chance you could have both. And I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, wow, really? You could have both? At the same time, that just sounds awful. So she knew I had COVID. And also, you had asked me for my, I supplied you with my phone call. I want to make sure that you receive that. Because I told you that I called the office, her office, on those specific days, especially the day that I received my COVID test back. And Dr. Benedict was saying that there was no call. But it was right there. I highlighted it. All the phone calls I made, I highlighted it.
So the day I received the test, I called her office, got an answer. And then the next morning, I remember feeling kind of, I felt that he didn't need us. I was unsatisfied. I was dissatisfied with his help when I told him that I'm positive. He was kind of blasé about it. So I remember calling him again the next morning around 9 o'clock. And that is also showing in my phone record. And I had a lengthy conversation with him because there was something about their practice where I felt like I wasn't getting the right help. All they kept saying was, oh, these IV therapies is what you need. That's all they kept talking about. And again, I don't have a problem with IV therapies, but maybe one session or two sessions would have been fine. I don't think it was necessary at that point for me to sign on to a 10-session IV therapy when I'm sick and don't know what I have, and I'm waiting for my COVID test to come back in 3 days. So instead of starting conservatively and telling me, you know, let's just wait for your results first, and then if you want, you can do one session today if you'd like, I would have been fine with that. But instead, she locked me in. The 10 sessions, I asked her, can we do 5 sessions? She said, no, we don't have 5 sessions. I told her, I don't have a lot of money. She said, I'm sorry, we don't have 5 sessions. It's either 10 or 20. And I said, absolutely not 20. Are you kidding me? I don't have that kind of money. And I asked her to come out single sessions. And she said, you know, Lisa, you're so sick right now. You are so sick. You are in front of me, and see how sick you are. I don't know what's wrong with you. One or two sessions is not going to help. So I'm taking all this in. I'm believing her words. If I was healthy in my right mind, I would say, no, I'm sorry. I just want to start with one session, thank you. But that's not the frame of mind that I was in. I don't know if any of you, I'm sure some of you have been hit with COVID. And also, you know, please know that that first false negative, I believed it. I thought I was negative. Therefore, what do I have? If this is not COVID, what on earth do I have? That's making me feel like this. It was very scary to me. But, you know, if someone already said, yeah, you're COVID, then that would make sense to me. Okay, I'm COVID, and that's why I'm so sick. But because that first negative, false negative, that I was really concerned. I thought I was dying. So I was ready to do anything. I felt like I was at her mercy. So when she told me one or two sessions, not going to do it. You're too sick. We need to get you cleaned out. We need to do this to your body and she explained everything. And to me, it made sense. Can I get your immune system up? Okay. And I bought into it. I signed off on the 10 sessions. It was not necessary, though. It was not necessary, not at that moment. So instead of starting conservatively and then growing from there and asking me if I'm okay money-wise, which is what I would expect from a naturopathic physician, she didn't do that. She started big. Because why? I was a great target. I was easy. I'm so sick, I said yes to everything. And the stool test that she strongly recommended, that was almost $600 just for that. And I asked her, really, do I really need it? Do I really need to do it? Yes, yes.
Yes, you do.
So she said she gave me the kit, never gave me the kit. I went through all my paperwork later after I got better. And I reviewed it, and I saw that there was a stool test kit. I said, I never got that. It never was done. So had I not caught it, I'd be up for $100. So, you know, I don't know all these acronyms and all these internal, you know, documentation system or, you know, things that you're talking about. That I don't know about that stuff. But yes, documentation sounds like it wasn't done right, but it's also her listening to me. She didn't listen to me. She was always running around so fast, going from this door to that door to that door to that. running around like a bee. Barely spent any time with me. And every time I spoke to her, I always felt like she wasn't really listening to me. It was kind of like over her head. And then now for her to say that I never told them I was COVID, it's just unthinkable. Unthinkable that I would omit that. And purposely? As soon as I got that information, I called her doctor.
Ella, Ian, thank you. I think your points, I definitely hear them and they're well taken. I need to get Dr. Rubin and Dr. Campbell to give us their viewpoints because I'll need to draw closure to this case. So let me go ahead and get Dr. Rubin first on his opinion.
Okay.
It's Dr. Rubin. I'm collecting my thoughts because I've been listening. Did we talk about the testimony from Dr. Anderson?
That was taken into account. I think Dr. Phil recognized it. And he and I think the rest of the board, didn't have a dispute about the actual therapeutics. The therapeutics were, I don't want to speak for us before, but the therapeutics were correct for what she was dealing with.
And then the standard of care is what Dr. Anderson said was
correct.
Met.
Correct.
So the approach to diagnostics, and so it sounds like what we're talking about is maybe the non-biological social aspects of billing and treating a package. I don't know that we're in a situation professionally to decide whether or not somebody was prey or a target. I mean, our goal is to decide whether or not this doctor's, we're supposed to protect the public, make sure nobody got hurt. From what I recall and read, there was no big financial impact to LS, if I remember correct. Sounds like what we're really talking about is, did everybody else hear that feedback? No. Is the personal care given? And the fact that Ellis feels like there was lack of care, and I believe Ellis wants to protect the rest of the public in this complaint to make sure that what happened to her maybe doesn't happen to anybody else is what I feel. I have to say, electronically, there was such bad feedback on my line that I'm having trouble concentrating. Well, it just ended. Sorry to drag y'all through this. But I just want to make sure that everybody can hear me clearly. Dr. Sadler, can you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Doctor.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, so Alex and members of the board, excuse me, this is Gara Asta. I just wanted to note that the board's job is to look at protecting the public for things that have or might occur. I just wanted to throw that out there and give the analysis I've heard so far.
So this is Scott King. If we're getting to summation, can I give us less than a minute summation?
Yes, Thomas. And let me make sure Dr. Rubin's done. Are you done, Dr. Rubin? Or do you have more to add?
Thank you, Dr. Zellick. This is Dr. Rubin. I would be happy to pause and listen to Mr. King.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Rubin. As far as I understand, this was the first day that we heard that Dr. Fernandez allegedly knew that the COVID testing was going to come back in 3 days. That was new. And I asked the board to look at the Miranda intake form because on page 4, and this is in Alex's own handwriting, it says, Robert, June 28, 2020, which was actually June 27, 2020, ER Hospital, the lab work was normal. Again, this was done on July 1. And as I mentioned toward the beginning, on page 64 of the transcript that we provided to the board, I was like, she's not. Doesn't know if she ever used a specific word that she just told Dr. Fernandez that she had COVID.
Can you clarify what? So you're saying that the patient says that the lab work is normal. However, it's got his own checkup. It says we have a pending COVID test on every checkup. So it's not that she's well aware that there's a pending COVID test and she never followed up. Again, this is my point last time. If you have a pending COVID test, at some point in your 7 chart notes, you would think to yourself, man, I'd like to get those follow-up chart notes. So I appreciate that you're telling me that the patient said there was a negative test. However, it's well-documented that it's a pending COVID test. So again, the idea that the patient comes in for 7 treatments, fails to tell the clinic she got COVID for 7 different treatments, if in fact Dr. Fernandez is spending 15 to 20 minutes starting the IV, it's pretty unthinkable that this conversation didn't come about that we're treating COVID. Because it's pretty much impossible in my mind. So I appreciate that there was a negative test, but I think it's totally invalid to the conversation.
And I'll just again point to page 64 of the transcript where the patient said, she didn't mean she told Dr. Fernandez that she was COVID positive. And so we have to believe what she told the board under Dr. Sandler's questioning on the last 40 on November 12th. In terms of the 10 sessions, that's as we indicated last time, the billing agreement says that any time within the first 30 days, if the patient wants to cancel it, she can do so, and there's no early termination fee. And Dr. Fernandez explained last time that the reduced rate that the patient receives from taking the 10 treatment doesn't get brought back, and then she gave a whole fee. So the patient had 10 within the first 30 days. She's not forced into anything. She can say, I don't want to have any more treatment. The patient's own admission at the last board meeting was by the 14th or 15th, she was feeling much better. And at that time, she used them probably at the as she did before. She probably had the kind of wherewithal to say, I don't want to have any more treatment. If that would have been it, that would have been the end of the treatment. She had the power to do that for the contract. And lastly, one thing, members of the board, it doesn't make sense to me. The patient that she received a text and voicemail from the Maricopa County Department of Health that she was COVID positive. It is not believable that the Department of Health didn't tell her, by the way, and this is what they're telling everybody else, you have to quarantine yourself for 10 to 14 days. There's no mention of that whatsoever. Dr. Fernandez said last time that there was COVID, he would not have treated his patient and patient is negative. Had she known about the positive test. And I'll end with this, that Arizona Republic. I'm sorry
to interrupt. This is Gail Anthony. I need to remind the board how this is on the placed on the agenda. This is just a review of the documents that the board requested. The board had forwarded this matter to a formal interview. The board also requested additional documentation. So this board meeting is just for the board to review that additional documentation. If they find there are additional issues, they would need to verbally put that in a vote and add that on to the formal interview portion of the allegations. Thank you.
Mr. King, go ahead and you can finish off.
Okay. And I guess what I'm going to end with that we tied the Arizona Republic article mid-July about people waiting 3 weeks or so and some more for the COVID test results. So at that point, Dr. I think it was reasonable for Dr. Fernandez to either wait for the pending results, but people were waiting that long to get them. And secondly, and perhaps more importantly, at the initial visit, when it's documented in her notes, Dr. Fernandez said that she offered the patient the antibody COVID-19 test, and the patient refused it. So that other than a pretext.
Okay, thank you, Ms. King.
I supplied you with the voicemail. I don't know if Mr. King is addressing that I'm not telling the truth when I said that I received a phone call from the Municipal County Health Department regarding my test results, but I have provided that to Ms. Anthony. So we have that information. And I have the first date of my illness was almost 2 weeks prior. So, if you're talking about quarantining, I was at towards the end of my illness.
Okay, thank you, Ella. What I'd like to do is, we have, quite a bit of information, so I'd like to start working on a motion for this case. So, let me kind of kick it around and see what we can come up with. We could, there's a number of ways to go through it. We could obviously take it to a formal, however, we've got the data at this point. Do we want to do a non-disclosure letter of concern to CME? If so, what do we want the CME to be? We've got a couple options. I need to start getting the board back on track as to what you'd like to see concluded with this case. So let me go ahead and start with Dr. Campbell. I know you joined us late. Do you have anything to add? Because we're trying to draw a close to this case.
My initial concerns were, in fact, addressed by Dr. Popeil, highlighting what appears to be some repetitive chart notes. And I think, collectively as we listened to LS, we're, and this is just really quick to go off topic, is, it appears that, when we think about things that people say, things that people do, and people forget, however, what, how we make somebody feel is something that they will always remember. Some of the things that are concerning to me is, when a patient indicates having some type of issue while receiving the treatment and is not attended to appropriately by, by the staff, if that in fact occurred. If we look at things from a patient perspective on how you would feel if in that same situation, it lends more to understanding why people are left to feel they need to make complaints. That being said, no, I don't have anything else to add at this point when we narrow in on what our role is here. So thank you.
Welcome. At this phase, let me make a motion to move to executive session for legal advice. Does everyone have our second line in the task code for that? Yes.
Can you send that to me? via email really quick.
Who is this?
My apologies, it's Dr.
Curtis Popio? Okay, I can't send an email at this point.
Dr. Campbell.
Oh, Dr. Campbell, I can't send an email at this point. Maybe one of the other board members, Dr. Shabbat?
Yeah, or next. What did you say?
Yeah, I can, I don't know if I have your actual cell phone number. Why don't we'll go on to, I need a second for executive session, so let me get that squared away first.
Good, second motion for second executive session.
For legal advice?
And,
let me do roll call.
Do we have our like roll call? Go ahead, yeah.
Dr. Shabbat?
Hi.
Dr. Popio?
Hi.
Ms. Chittis?
Hi.
Ms. Gowan?
Hi.
Dr. Campbell?
Hi.
Dr. Spatt?
Hi.
Dr. Rubin?
Hi.
Motion carries. And Dr. Campbell, I did email everyone on the board the pool's contact numbers earlier today, so perhaps you can search for that.
No problem. And I can also send Dr. Sabbath an email really quick, too. So, and I have to know right before I called in my email, so that's going to just need to go tomorrow. So,
if you can't find it, Dr. Campbell, just go ahead and email me. I'm my computer, so I'll get back to you if you can't find it in your email. So at this point, it's 12:54. We're going to move to executive session. We'll catch everyone on the other line.
The executive session is only for board members.
Just for executives.
So we will be back in a few minutes after executive session has ended. We'll be back in open session. So you just hang on the line, guys. Thank you.